Faulty intelligence on weapons in Iraq dominate the news these days, from yesterday's Butler report in Britain to the Senate Intelligence Committee's findings last week. But missing weapons of mass destruction aren't the first instance of intelligence failures here or abroad. From the attack on Pearl Harbor all the way back to the Wooden Horse in Troy, history is littered with tales of inaccurate intelligence. We invite you to join our conversation, whether from the history books or from personal experience. Call and tell us your own story of intelligence failures. Our number here in Washington, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address, totn@npr.org. Joining us now to share some of history's intelligence breakdowns is Paul Reynolds, a correspondent for BBC Online. Thanks for being with us, Mr. Reynolds.
Lynn, good afternoon.
Now, you say we can trace intelligence failures all the way back to the Trojan War. That, of course, may be the most famous of all intelligence failures.
Yes, I think that the purists might disagree with your term that that was history. Some might call it myth. However, as you know, what happened was this was an example of, you know, just people just ignoring what they're being told. They were told by Cassandra, who was King Priam of Troy's daughter, not to trust the Greeks who'd left this horse behind. The trouble is she was blighted by the god Apollo because she had let him down, and so he decreed that her powers of prophecy should not be believed, and she was not believed, and we know the result. But that set the long pattern for intelligence failures, which are obviously thriving in our day.
Now, in a recent article that you wrote, you listed some of the causes of intelligence failures. One, overconfidence, and that points to one of your favorite stories about intelligence failures, and that was the one dealing with the Yom Kippur War of October 1973.
This was an amazing incident in 1973 when the Israelis were on the east bank of the Suez Canal and the Egyptians on the west bank, and the Egyptians made no secret of their warlike intentions, but the Israelis had what they call this concept, and this is an example of projecting your own reason onto the other side. The Israelis said, we would not attack across the canal because we would lose a war if we did, if we were Egyptians. Therefore, the Egyptians won't attack. However, the Egyptians had a more limited aim of holding ground and winning the diplomatic victory, which is in fact what happened, and the Israelis had an inquiry under a former Chief Justice, called Mr. Agronat, and the Prime Minister, Mrs. Meir, eventually resigned. So that was a prime example of just simply not reading the signs and being overconfident of your own abilities.
Another reason you give is overestimation. What's an example of that?
Well, the overestimation is the present crisis we've been through in Iraq. You know, there was this different kind of concept that Iraq did have these weapons. And as you say, we've just had the report here by Lord Butler. The interesting difference between the British and the American reports, incidentally, is that the British report said everybody was at fault but no one is to blame, and the Americans said everybody at fault and everybody is to blame. So the British are much more reticent on these things. But there was a prime example of overestimation. There was another case I came across which was quite a spooky thing, actually, in the 1980s, when the Soviet Union overestimated the West's intentions. They thought the West was about to launch a nuclear missile attack, partly after Ronald Reagan came to power. They sent their agents out to do ludicrous things like look to see if the lights were burning late in the Pentagon and the British Foreign Office. And, you know, to think that if some cleaner had left the light on somewhere, the war would have moved closer is either hilarious or fearful.
And, of course, then there's complacency.
Complacency was the British example was the British in Argentina and the Falkland Islands in 1982. Even though a new military junta had taken power at the end of the previous year and the negotiations had broken down, the Brits did nothing about this. Even if you don't know, and even if you're ignorant, as at Pearl Harbor, there are always steps you can take. At Pearl Harbor, for example, there was radar, but the radar station was only open for, I think, 3 hours in the morning. But the commander had accurately predicted when an attack might take place, but he had no aircraft ready to repel such an attack. So the radar was completely useless.
So to what degree do nations learn from their mistakes in intelligence?
Very good question, Lynn. One would like to think they do learn, and presumably they do at times, but you know, you don't have to look back through history, and again, in our day, they don't seem to have learned all the lessons.
Right. Well, thanks so much for being with us today, Mr. Reynolds.
Pleasure.
Paul Reynolds is a correspondent for the BBC Online, and he joined us by phone from his home in London. In Washington, I'm Lynn Neary, NPR News.